We'll discuss some inyani avelis, a couple of questions I got regarding mourning in the past little bit. So basically two questions, more, I guess they're contemporary, they come up more, but they're not new. These questions happen maybe not as often, but they happen all the time. There are two not uncommon events, either today with the event of airplane, and at the separate discussion, should one be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Should one, we won't be discussing, but that's the reality. Many more people today get buried in Israel. So it leads to some questions. Number one is, let's say someone's work with Hamilton. Let's say someone's going to be buried in Israel, but you're going to do the service here, and then you'll go to the airport, and you'll fly the body to Eretz Yisrael. So someone, we're talking about one of the relatives, one of the people who are obligated in Avelis. So they're going to go to the airport. Let's assume for arguments that they're having the service at the airport. And then they're going to come back home and the body is going to be flown to Israel. So the funeral won't happen till the next day or whenever it's going to happen. The question is, when is that person who's coming home in Hamilton, and he's not going to Israel, he's not going to the funeral, when does he begin Shiva? Does he begin right away when he comes home? Does he have to wait until the burial in Eretz Yisrael? And the second case is, let's say you live in New York, and one of the relatives died in England, and the burial's in Israel. So you're not going to the service, and you're not going to the burial. So do you wait for the service? Do you wait for the burial? Or you begin Shiva immediately upon the news? Those are the two questions. We'll begin with the first one.
Wait, yeah. When it all happens right here.
Right.
You wait for the burial?
I didn't say what we did.
You're getting there.
I just asked the questions.
Well, I want to make sure you covered the most common one.
Yeah. Because even if I asked the second one, I would have discussed this one first. So the Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, that this, back in the day, not that it's not true today, but most of the cemeteries are chutz la'ir. Even though we have a couple here which aren't, the Upper James and the Temple when they're in the middle of the cities, but most cemeteries, even today, are chutz la'ir, are outside the city limits. So what the custom was, not everyone, usually the Chevra Kadisha took care of everything, but people walked. So they have the expression, people walk to the end of the city, and then they turn back, and then the Chevra Kadisha usually did the rest. They took them, however far it was, took them to the cemetery, and they did the burial. So Chazal have an expression that once you turn your back, meaning you turn away from the gates, you head back. So once you get home, so you begin Shiva right away. So the question is, why do you begin Shiva right away? Why don't you wait until the funeral? So the obvious reason is because it was before phones, before modern. How do I know when the funeral? I don't know if it's going to take 10 more minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours. How do I know when the steam has to go? I don't know when this funeral is happening. So therefore, that seems to be the simple pshat in the Rambam, which the Bach and other poets can say, if that's the reason, based on that, Bizman Hazed, he's not even talking about Bizman Hazed today, but he's saying, if it's an issue of knowledge, so if you're in a scenario, and then clearly today would be one, people are actually watching it when it's happening, with FaceTime and other things, so clearly the implication being, someone learning the Rambam, that if you do know, then you wait. You should wait until it seems to be implied from the Rambam. If you know when the funeral is happening, you should wait for the funeral. But it's only because you don't know, so therefore, what are you going to do? So therefore, this is it. This is the closest you're going to get, and therefore, you might as well begin. That's how Rambam learned. Other Rishonim and most poskim do not learn like that. They don't learn that pshat in the Rambam. They say it's more. It's Orcha de Mils. He's just describing the reality that people didn't know, but not that wasn't the reason for it. The lesson they use is lo nusnu halacha l'shiurim or something along those lines. In other words, we can't have it based on they couldn't say, you know what? Well, for you it's in 10 minutes later. For you it's 20 minutes later. For you it's 2 hours later. we're not going to make a halacha where everything is different. So therefore, a low plug, when you get home, you go back, and whether you know or you don't know is not the issue. That's just the wording he used. But the issue is, once you get home, you begin. So that's a machlokas among the Rishonim and Poskim in a case where, let's say, you went. So that's the question: is flying from the airport. So that's the assumption. Once you leave the airport and turn back, it's similar to the case at the gate. So therefore, some want to learn based on the Rambam, you'd wait until the Shiva. However, most poskim, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, writes that no, that's not the pshat. The halacha is, and this seems to be the accepted, you always have different minhagim, but I'd say the normative psak by most would be based on Rav Moshe and others, is that one, that going to the airport and the body is going to be falling on the plane and you leave, when you go home, you begin Shiva right away. So that seems to be the accepted norm. You begin Shiva immediately because you are osik, you're no longer involved, and you come back. So what about that second case, the case where you're not involved at all? I'm sitting here, where it's in England, Hamilton, basically everything's happening in a different place. The death happened in a different town, and the burial is happening in a different town than there. So what do I do? Like I said, I guess there's three choices: right away, at the service, or at the funeral. So this actually was a discussion between the Netziv and Rafael Shapiro. Netziv was one of the people involved with the Velesh and Yeshiva, and Rafael Shapiro was a son-in-law of the Netziv. And we'll see what happened at the end of Netziv's life. But so the case is that, and I guess this wasn't uncommon, that when a person died out of town, most people didn't make today. With modern technology, people fly in from New York or Israel or other places. Back then, transportation was much more difficult. Even it's interesting how they found out right away, even. Like, you know, it could have been the time they found out, the funeral already happened. So the cases I'm discussing is, there's one of the relatives live out of town. The burial happened, I think in that case it could have been the burial just happened out of town. There was no like two-state, forget about Israel even, is like they were just, someone's being buried in a different, you know, England, and I'm not going to the funeral. So that's really no different than the other case. We just have a couple of steps. The question is, when you're having the service, is that relevant to the question or not? But I threw it out there anyway, halakhically relevant. But so it's only relevant. So either we have two options. We know it's clear from the Gemara that if you were involved and you stop being involved, then it seems to be the psak. Then when you get home, you begin right away. What happens if you were never involved? So do I say, well, kal vachomer, if you were never involved, then you should begin right away? Or do I say, no, once I was involved, so then I have to wait now until I began part of the procedure, so until the funeral's done, I can't go. So the Netziv's psak is, one does not begin Shiva until after the Kfura. One does not begin to sit Shiva until after the burial. What's his proof? Where does he get it from? So it's an interesting rush. I mean, interesting meaning Jewish, not a sad rush, but unfortunately true in Jewish history. He talks about someone who is a Jewish person who was killed by the Goyim and crucified, I think is his Lashon. I guess that wasn't uncommon. They used to crucify Jews. So what happened was, there was another brother in a different town, and I guess word got to him, your brother is dead. So he sat Shiva, okay? And then after he sat Shiva for a week or two later, he gets word that, no, his brother's still not buried. He's still being hung. And they're waiting for him or family to pay a ransom, which is also not uncommon. It wasn't a theological issue sometimes. It was a money issue. And they're waiting to get money. If you want the body back, because they know in Judaism, or I'm sure even if you're not Jewish, you might want the body back, and you pay more for it. They know you have to do burials. Either way, it was a ransom, and they wanted money. And they're trying to get money, et cetera. So the Shiloh was, he already sat Shiva, so does he have to sit Shiva again now? Like the person, so the Netziv writes, there are two things that could begin Shiva. What could begin Shiva? Number one, he says, Yeyosh. Yeyosh is usually a term when someone loses an object and you give up hope. So then if someone picks it up, they might acquire it. But Yeyosh means you give up on any chance of burial. So in this case, you know, when if you're still doing ransom bids, so it's still up in the air, but once they say, let's say they want $1 million and you know there's no way in the world you're getting it, or different cases where they're not even giving, different, like today when they rent, they take soldiers, they're not necessarily interested in giving them back ever. So it's a, whatever we define Yeyosh as, he says you either need Yeyosh, you have to give up that you're ever going to acquire the body, or Kfura, or the classical way, you have to bury all, you do begin Shiva. So the Rush writes, he didn't have Yeyosh or Kfura yet when he did this Shiva. So therefore, I think the Siv's Psak is, you know, you have to do Shiva again. So therefore, because you didn't do the Kfura yet. So the Siv wants to bring a proof from this Rush that since we see that you have to wait until the Kfura to do Shiva. So too, so when you're out of town and you have to wait for the burial,
yeah,
Avi.
Yeah, no, there's a shy boy, because in the 1970s, early 70s, in Eretz Yisrael, there was a, maybe late 60s, the ship, there was a submarine that went under, I think the anchor, and I think it was, yeah. I think it was a major focus at the time, but the Sardin was,
Avadji Yosef, Chacham Avadja.
So if I remember correctly, his psak halacha, because these women were all egunos. So you have like a whole bunch of women that are not able to remarry because of the fact that they don't know whether or not, like what happened to the ship, right? So they were, whether they were tired, like something obviously happened to it. So I think the end of psak halacha is that he was able to find a hetter for them to get out of the eguna status. But the question is though, obviously, going back to what you're saying, is what happens in a situation where they haven't had, there is, after a certain point, there is
Yeyush,
though. How long does that usually last?
Right, so it's similar. I mean, more recently, they had the 9/11. That was a whole big agun, and that was a whole big discussion. You know, and different posts can work to try to make it. And right, and then obviously the Ave, you know, when you begin Ave, which would be similar to there. So obviously, there's not going to be any Kfura because the body probably doesn't exist. But then, you know, whatever, I guess that depended on people, you know, working in the buildings, recovering bodies. Like, you know, so it's a Metzias issue when Yeyosh is. It's not, there's no set rule after X amount of time. I mean, there might be up on the end side, but generally it depends on how big the job, you know, when the recovery team says basically that's it, you know, we did it, you know, and even now, let's say, so they were looking for a body somewhere. So, you know, so usually they, whatever the time is, you know, within reason, and then, you know, unless, you know, we decide. But the question is, it depends what the Rush means, unless you're saying if it's a personal year, so I might give up hope much earlier, so then I could, you know, so if I actually have, it's a question like, this is a personal Yeyosh or is it a reasonable Yeyosh? You know, that's a separate, I guess, within the Rush. I'm saying one could raise the question. So either way, so the Rush says you do it at the Kfura, and he brings another Raya, a famous case with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's sister died. And they said he didn't sit Shiva until after the funeral. He was in a different town than his sister. So the Rush, the Nitziv says we have two proofs that we go bus a kfur. You can't start Shiva until after the burial. That's the raya of the Nitziv. So Rafael Shapiro's son-in-law did not go for it. He didn't go for either of the rayas. In fact, he argues on his father-in-law, the Nitziv, and says, what are you talking about? The proof and the Rush. He says, no, you begin Shiva right away. If you have no intent of going to the service, to the funeral, it's like, if you go to the gates and turn away, you start right away. Kal vachomer, if I'm not going to be involved at all, why wait? What about the Rush's proof about the body waiting for the kfur? He says, that's totally different that case. Let me ask you something. Let's say someone tells you that someone died and you sat Shiva, but the person's alive and 2 weeks later he dies and you did Shiva before the person died. No one would say it's good. So it was a mistake. The brother didn't know. The brother thought the person was buried. He heard he was died. He didn't know any details. Okay, my brother died, he's buried, I'm going to do the Shiva. And then the reality was that he wasn't, so like any toast. That's why you can't bring me any proof on this rush about, in our case, whether it goes by the kfura or not. That was the case of Tos. So therefore, that's the reason why he had to do shiva again, not because there was no proof that he'd have to wait for the kfura. And secondly, if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas, he explains, you know why Rabbeinu Tam waited for the kfura, even though he's in a different town? Because they brought his sister back to his town, and he was involved in the funeral. That's why he waited. So of course you're going to wait. If you're going to the cemetery, you're going to wait. So he says he doesn't like the proofs of his father-in-law at all, and he's cholek on the Netziv, and he says shiva begins right away. If you're not going to be involved in the process, and that's not even out of town. If you're local in town and you're not going, that's a general rule. If you, let's say a person's older, he can't leave the house, whatever the case may be. So going to the Netziv, you'd wait to the funeral. And according to the Rafael Shapiro, in theory, you know, in those cases, it might not be that much of a difference. I guess usually there's at least a day difference, because today we don't usually bury right away. Only if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it usually takes a day. But so that's the way Rav Moshe Feinstein, the most poskim, or again most poskim, I'd say, could go with the son-in-law, Rafael Shapiro. And they would say shiva begins right away. If you have no intention to be involved or go to the funeral, so the question is, would be whether Bizman Hazeh with FaceTime and that are you consider being Osek in the Kfura now, since you're going to know. But leaving that aside, that's the Machokas and the Tziv and Rafael Shapiro. And in fact, there's a Maisa that happened with the Tziv, and the Tziv died. So I said Rafael Shapiro was married to the Tziv's daughter. So the Tziv died in a different town, and she wasn't going. So she asked the husband, "Who? What do I do? Do I follow my father or do I listen to you?" I don't know if she put it that way. And I'm not sure if she. And he said, "You know." And he said, "You're following me." So being a good wife, I'm sure she listened to Rafael Shapiro, and therefore she began shiva right away. But that's that was the issue with the Netziv and Rafael. Yeah, Jeff.
Really interesting. Like with FaceTime, the person is sort of involved with the funeral, but he still couldn't be part of a minion there, right?
Right. I'm saying, yeah. Yes. We don't assume, yeah. But I'm saying, but that's in. So therefore, that gets into the question of a vow, but that, and then it gets into the question. So according to the Netziv, then. Before I get to the Netziv, so Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that's Rav Soloveitchik from Boston's father. He wants to combine both. He says we have a principle in Avelis, halacha kedivrei hameikel ba'avelis. We have a general rule when it comes to laws of mourning. We take the lenient view. Of course, one could debate what's lenient, what's strict, but whatever that is, we take the lenient view. So therefore, he wants to say, let's say erev Pesach after Chatzos has some form of a holiday, because it's after the Karban Pesach. So people make the mistake, usually on Erev Shabbos, you're supposed to sit shiva up until the time you need to get ready. There's no chatzos. That comes from Erev Pesach after chatzos. That's because the Karban Pesach was brought. But on a regular Friday or Erev Yontif, there's no din of chatzos. You sit shiva until as much time as you need to change and get ready for Yontif. So, but Erev Pesach, so therefore, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you get up from shiva and then it's over. What happens if someone gets buried after Chatzos and Erev Pesach? So you have to wait for shiva, like Chol HaMoed, until after Yontif? So no. So since it's a machlokes Rishonim, whether shiva actually ends on Chatzos, some say it doesn't end until after. So halacha kedivrei. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says here, he says, we go l'kula. We begin with the Netziv and we end with Rafael Shapiro. So therefore, in a case where you start 3 days later, so you count those 3 days without being noeg avelis, but you end, so you only have like a 3.5 day, kind of like we do on Yontif when you die on Chol HaMoed. So Yontif Sheni we count as a day, but we don't actually noeg avelis, and we count the day after. So he says it here, halacha kedivrei hameikel ba'avelis. We take the coup as a boat. We begin counting at the funeral, but you could start counting from the death. So in many cases, you could have like 2-3 days of avelis instead. Yeah, that's on the last. No, right. The last day you get up and no. The last day is that. The last day that's everyone agrees to that. Whatever that last.